about the great Almighty God.
Amen.
Oh, how great that song. That's such a wonderful song to me. I remember when it was first sung among us 56 years ago when I was just first saved. How great thou art. Oh, that inspired my heart. You know, dear ones tonight, it's wonderful. Well, I don't know hardly how to put it in words how I feel. The great Almighty God, to know and believe and experience His work in your heart and life, it's the greatest thing you'll ever have. It's the greatest experience you could ever attain to have the Almighty God reveal Himself to your heart and mind. I just want to speak about the great Almighty God. And one of the places of the many there are in the Scriptures that we have illustrated and revealed and described of the Almighty God is in the message that the Apostle Paul preached at Athens, Greece, in the 17th chapter of Acts. I'm not going to try to recite it, but I can. It's embezzled in my mind. I know it by heart. But I want to tell you, dear ones, it's one of the greatest messages in the Bible. God that made the world, Acts 17, He starts out addressing to the men at Athens. But I want to start with the 24th verse. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God that made the world. Do you believe that Almighty God made and created this world? Or did it just happen to be? Is there anything that just happens to be? If I'd hit that glass there and send it careening across and spraying of water, it didn't just happen to be. Nothing just happens to be. You didn't just happen to be here tonight. You didn't just happen to be here. I didn't just happen to be here. Everything is caused and created by something. God made the world and all things in it. He made all the animals. You ever get to thinking about how many different kind of animals we have? Dogs and cats and mice and rats and squirrels and skunks and all kinds of things that God created. Why did He create all these things? He had a purpose in it. The flowers. I don't know whether I say it. Are those real or are those man-made? Are they real? Well, they sure are pretty, aren't they? Just think of all the different flowers the Lord made. The roses, the lilies. Just all kinds of things. Think of the many different fruits and vegetables. Okra. Carrots. Think about them. Lettuce. Cabbage. It's amazing. Don't just take them for granted and say, oh, they just happened to be. No! There's an Almighty God that designed them and spoke them into existence and told them to multiply and be fruitful. I believe in the God of creation. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds. Think about the sun out there. You ever stop and look at that sun and think about where it came from and who created it? and what it's doing. You couldn't even live if it wasn't for that sun. You'd die in a few seconds if the sun would quit shining. Do you know that? Well, where'd it come from? Oh, it just happened to be. No, it didn't just happen to be. There's an almighty God that spoke it into existence. Today, it's the farthest south now that it's going to be start coming back, making the seasons. This is the first day of winter. And it's far south, but it's going to start coming back. And about the 21st or 22nd of March, it'll be midway. And then on up to about June the 23rd, the farthest north. And who created that? Who got that in motion and going? Oh, it just happened to me. That's a bunch of nonsense. It didn't just happen to me. Almighty God created it. The God of love, the God of goodness, the God of power, the God of glory, the God of help, the God of mercy, the God of our salvation. I'm so glad I know God. I'm so glad He's real to my soul. The Almighty God. God that made the world and all things that are therein. Seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Lord. You know what the word Lord means? Overseer, owner, controller, everything. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's got control of the seasons. He's got control of everything. Seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't dwell in temples made with men's hands. He doesn't want to dwell in a man-made house, a big temple. They built those big temples in Athens, Greece. Athens, they had their ideas about God. The Romans had their ideas about God. But the Jewish nation, the Israelites, they sprang from the true and living God. Jehovah. We had that song. Oh, I just love that song. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Jehovah is the Jewish word for the God Almighty. Jehovah. He is the eternal, everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And He is wise. He is gracious. He is good. He is kind. He is loving. He is helpful. What a wonderful privilege to know the true and living God. Children, young people, don't make the mistake that many are making. Seek God. Listen, that's what He's saying in this message here. God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needeth anything. Seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. He gave you your being. He gave you your breath. Where's all this good breath, all air come from? God gave it to us. And made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. He created mankind. He created mankind, has multiplied and filled the earth. Several trillion people, isn't it? I don't know just how. This is all God created humanity. He gave us our life and our being. Made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, where they could dwell, their seasons, everything. God set it in order. Now, why did he do that? The next verse, verse 27, this is why he did it. That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him. Though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. You know, we should seek the Lord. If haply, now that word haply don't mean it just happened to seek the Lord. No, that word means you purpose to seek the Lord. You make the effort to seek the Lord. You make the decision to seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him. Seek him and feel. You don't feel after him with your hands. You feel after him with your innermost being. With your heart, your mind. You start praying to him, calling upon him. Oh God, help me. Help me, Lord. Reveal yourself to me. I know you're God. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to please you. I want your blessings, your help, your salvation, your grace. Oh, dear ones, today, God is real. He's a wonderful God. He's a great, big, wonderful God. I'm so glad that I had a godly mother that taught me about God. I'm so glad I went to service with the people that believed and trusted in God. I was raised among the saints of the Most High God. I thank the Lord. It got in my heart and my mind as a young boy. I can still hear in my mind my mother praying in family worship. Oh, dear ones, I hope we're all interested in loving this wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. Seek for him. Pray to him. Earnestly. With all your heart. Feel after him in your soul, your mind. He's real. He's the most wonderful thing you can have in life is have favor and help from God. I don't know how many times along my journey of life that I have found God so real and so wonderful. God that made the world and all things that are therein. Think about all these beautiful trees. I have just been raptured with all the many different trees. You know, you just sometimes just kind of take them for granted, and you know, and just go on to. But look at them. They're beautiful. All the different, the oaks. What's these big old cottonwood? We got at our chapel at Enid, in the yard there of the chapel, we've got a giant cottonwood. And I'm telling you, and I look at that thing and it overwhelms me. Beautiful, great, big, beautiful tree. Then there's the oak and the maple and the, what do you call these? Those trees just hanging down. So beautiful. Then think of the flowers. The many different flowers we have. Oh, aren't they wonderful? God that made the world and all things that are therein. Seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He wants to dwell in your heart. I want to tell you, when God comes in and lives within you, dear ones, You can have a most wonderful life. Oh, God is so real. He speaks to us. He blesses our souls. He encourages us. He helps us in our troubles. Oh, He talks to our hearts. Praise the Lord. He talks to us. He talks to me. Sometimes in the night, sometimes during the day, just several times. It's a wonderful God. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. That we should seek Him. If happily, we might feel after Him and find Him. Though He be not far from every one of us. He's not far distant. He's a God right here at hand. Oh, He be not far from every one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being. You have your knowledge, your feelings, your thoughts in Him. He gives it to you. He designed and fashioned the human body. I get to looking at the human body sometimes, and it just overwhelms me what kind of a creature we are. We got digestive organs. They start in our mouth. You start chewing food, and it starts mixing with saliva from your saliva glands in your mouth. It goes down to your stomach. And from your stomach, or in your stomach, it is joined with juices from several organs. That's right. They digest and get mixed with that food you've eaten. And the liver and the gallbladder and the pancreas. And then the food that goes on down into the little small intestine, which is long, small, it all wrapped up in a big ball. And it goes into that small intestine. And then it goes through the walls. It sifts through the walls of the small intestines into the bloodstream. You know, I learned some of this stuff in school. But I studied about it and pondered about it. That's amazing how God has done that. God did that. If you think you just happened to be, you didn't just happen to be, a wise, gracious being designed you. And think about how you got your start. How'd you get started? You had to have a microscope to see what you were. And you started in your mother's womb. But there was something before you got started. There was an almighty God that knew you. There's a scripture that's very precious to me in the 139th Psalm. It tells about how God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it is so how that God knew us before we were formed in the mother's belly. I want to tell you, dear ones, you owe everything to God because He created you. He gave you your life and your being. If you leave Him out and put Him out of your heart and life, you are doing a wrong, unjust deed that's not right. Because God gave you your being. And then the blood is flowed. Your heart is beating. What's your heart beating for? is pumping blood all through your body, up in your brain, and that's another place. Brain and all the arms and hands fouling. And then you're breathing. You're breathing air comes into two lungs here. And your lungs are drawing, the blood is coming to the lungs and getting the oxygen. And the oxygen goes into the blood, and then the air you breathe out is carbon dioxide. And they say that trees breathe in carbon dioxide and give off oxygen. Now that's what I've heard. Now that's something else. We serve a great, wonderful Creator. And that blood goes through all the body. And then you have another organ down here called the kidney. And it takes that blood and filters it. Filters it out, kicks out the places, things that's not to be used anymore. And it's filtered out, and then it has to be disposed of. That's the way God made it. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That my soul knoweth right well. We serve a great and wonderful God. If you don't serve God, you're missing out on the most wonderful experience you could ever have. If you're going after this old world with all of its lusts and pleasures, all of its money and all of its vanities, you're a pitiful person. You're foolish. You need to realize there is a God that created me, and I want to know Him. I want to experience His help. I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him. God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needeth anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the whole earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation, where they can live, where they can get along, that they should seek the Lord. That's why He did it. He wants you to seek Him. Did you know that? He loves you, but He wants you to seek after Him. And when He hears or sees anyone that's seeking after Him, He's responding to that. He is paying attention to that. He loves you. He's a great Almighty God, but He wants to come and dwell inside your heart and mind. Most wonderful thing you could ever have. That's why Jesus came into the world, His Son. He sent His Son into the world, as He goes on down to say that He's going to judge the world by that man, Jesus. But He sent Jesus into the world to die for our sin. We were lost in sin. Humanity was overtaken by the devil, and in sin and transgression against His law. He established faith. He brought faith out and showed what faith is in Abraham, in Abel, in Enoch, in Noah, and in all, and Moses. We have it all pictured in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Amen. Wonderful chapter. I really appreciated the word we heard today about having faith in God. We have examples of faith. Abraham, you're going to study, there were seven steps of his faith, and he performed each one of them. He was a father of the faithful. What that means was that he set the example of having faith in God. If you say, I don't know how to have faith in God, get on the ball and get after Hebrews 11, it'll help you know how to have faith in God. Seek the Lord. Read His Word. Pray to Him. Call upon Him. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. He's not far from you. In fact, He's right here. Right here. Jesus lives in me. Thank the Lord. In Him we live and move and have our being. As certain poets, he said, of your own poets, the Greek poets. I've got a book that has the poem. I don't remember what the name of the poet was, but he said this, we are also His offspring. You're the offspring of God. You came from God. That's where you got your being, your life. You didn't just happen to be. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Don't think that God is like what man produces. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. God has overlooked man's ignorance. He's overlooked your ignorance, but it's time for you to wake up, because He's not going to overlook it no more. Times of His ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Shape up, straighten up, quit doing the things that's not right and pleasing in His sight. Be holy and be righteous and be godly. Seek to Him. Pray. Be kind. Be merciful. Be honest. Be true. Be faithful. Be merciful. Patient with others. Be loving and gracious. That's what He wants you to do. You don't have to keep on doing wrong, cursing and swearing and lusting after women and all these things and all these terrible things. We don't have to be a partaker of this old wicked world. We can live for God. We can live holy. He wants us. He's a holy God, and He wants us to be holy. That's the only way you can be happy. Commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Straighten up. Get right with God. Quit doing the things that's wrong. You don't have to do them anymore. What sin? We have some people that say, can't help but sin. Everybody's got to sin more or less every day. What, tell me one sin you have to keep doing? There isn't any of them. You can quit them all by the help of the Lord if you want to. I know I had a terrible cursing habit. I had a terrible temper. I'd get mad and slam doors and stomp and rear and carry on and curse and swear. I would. But I knew I was doing wrong. I knew I was grieving God. And I didn't want nobody else to know about it. I was working for my uncle and his son out west of Guthrie here. And one morning I was trying to hook up something on a tractor, one of the things you pull to get to do some work on the tractor. And I couldn't get the thing. I just tried to back up into it, and I'd get out, and I'd stomp, and I'd curse, and I'd get so mad, I thought I was there by myself. All of a sudden, I looked up, and there was my cousin standing over there. Oh, I thought, I didn't make any motion, but I thought, oh my. I hope he didn't hear me, but he come up there and he says, this is kind of hard on your nerve, hard on you, isn't it? I knew he heard me. I was so ashamed of myself. I began to seek the Lord while I worked out there. I began to seek the Lord. Out on the tractor, plowing and running a harrow and this and that, I was a praying. Lord, have mercy on me. Save me. I'm glad I sought the Lord because I found Him precious to my soul. You can too, dear ones. May the Lord help us. I hope all of you are. But if there's anybody here that's not seeking the Lord, you need to seek Him. Because He's real. He's the Almighty God. And remember, let's do this last thing now. Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. That's Jesus. Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He raised Him from the dead. God sent Jesus into the world to teach us His way, to teach us His truth. And God sent Jesus in the world to pay the price for our sins and iniquities. And that's what He did when He went to Calvary. He let them kill Him. He could have stopped them. He could have called for 12 legions of angels to get Him out of that, but He wouldn't do it. He wanted to do the will of the Father and give His life for our souls to be saved. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you want to serve Him? Don't you want to appreciate what He did for you? He gave His life. He shed His blood. It was awful the way they treated Him. And He died, and they took Him down, and they buried Him in the tomb and put soldiers around to not let anybody come and get Him up and take Him and say He's alive. But that third day morning, that Sunday morning, before daylight, He was out of that tomb and alive forevermore. Glory! In fact, He said He has given assurance unto all men in that He raised Him from the dead. He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places to intercede for you and me. He is our great high priest. And someday, He's coming again. He's going to judge the earth. All men are going to be bowed before Him. All men, I don't know, I get to sometimes wonder how that will be, but they'll all be there. I'll be there, you'll be there. And if we have accepted and served Him and been faithful to Him, He will give us eternal life. I don't know how it's all going to be, but it's going to be wonderful. May the Lord help you. Whoever is here that needs to get right with God, don't wait another day. Settle it right now. Lord, I come to You. I want You to take my life and use me. I want to live for You. I believe You're the great Almighty God. You created me. You created the world. Lord, I want to please You. Help me to quit these things I'm doing this wrong. Help me to live holy and righteously, because I want to see You someday and meet You in heaven. Amen.